This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trust. You remember. You remember how often I have talked to you about trust. Trust is just, it's just so important in all relationships. It's important in business relationships. You have to have that trust there. If you're an employer, you have to trust that your employees aren't going to steal from you. If you're an employee, you have to trust you're going to get paid in time. In personal relationships, trust, so important. Husband, wife, kids, it's so important that there is a level of trust there. And a people, the people of any nation, and their government, their various institutions of government, there has to be a trust level there. We, the American people, when the government speaks, when the government says something, even if occasionally they get things wrong, because it's made up of human beings, and human beings get things wrong, even if they get something wrong, that's fine, as long as they're not lying. And if we think they're lying, okay, then someone will get caught or fired or arrested, and the lying will stop. But what if the lies turn into other lies, which turn into other lies, which turn into other lies, which turn into other lies? Well, what will happen is the people, instead of feeling linked with their government, will begin to fracture from their government and separate from their government. I saw a shocking poll. Shocking. And I'm going to screw up the numbers, but numbers aren't specifically important. And the poll was, pre-Vietnam, what was the level of trust the American people had in their government? And the number, I about fell out of my chair, because I'm 44. I wasn't alive then. I don't even know that world. I believe the number was something like 80%. Might have been 77%. You trusted the government. If the government came out and told you this, people, oh, okay, well, the government said so. And now the number, I do remember this, is 17%. 17%. We don't trust them anymore. That's a disastrous situation for a nation. And here's the problem. When trust gets lost, instinctively, what do you want to do? Just as a human being, it's human nature. What do you feel like doing? I've developed a terrible drinking problem. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not. Don't worry about it. I've developed a terrible drinking problem. I've been getting DUIs. I'm drinking a fifth of whiskey a day. I'm showing up late to work. I've got a horrible drinking problem. My wife finds out about it. And I tell her, I'm going to change. I'm going to clean it up. Right? Only water for me. And then the show goes late. Producer Matt's so annoying. I have to stay after and talk to Matt. I'm kidding. Matt's great. But I show up 15 minutes late to home. Wife says, where you been? Human nature is tell another lie. It is. Tell another lie to cover up the other lies. But how do you earn back that trust? How do you link again? You have to be open and honest. I have to pull out my phone and show her, look, no. Producer Matt texted me and he said, I need you to stay after the show. I want you to see it right here. You're welcome to call Matt if you want to confirm that. Look, open and honest. That's how you relink. But the problem is, since the Vietnam War, all the way up through COVID, where the government turned it up to 1,000, there was never open and honest. It was just lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And then when caught in one lie, they'd tell another lie. And then caught in that lie, they'd tell another lie. And you remember during COVID how often I warned, we are fracturing completely. We are using up the last of that trust. And you remember, if you watched I'm Right back then, you remember how often I used to warn, this is going to matter in the future. In the future, there will be another virus. There will be another war. There will be another something. And the government is going to come to us and they're going to say this. And we're not going to believe them because of what was happening now. Remember, just stay home.
Illinois, California, New York, Connecticut. Democratic governors of those states are telling their citizens to stay home. In New York, for example, no more outdoor basketball games. Everybody not deemed essential to operations must stay home. And the orders come with a message. They will be strictly enforced.
100% of the workforce must stay home.
That is the right thing, even though it's extremely painful. It's unheard of. And, you know, there are particular businesses that it's catastrophic for.
Stay home.
Stay home, save lives.
Should everyone be issuing these stay-at-home orders?
Our message is this: what are you waiting for? What more evidence do you need?
If we really do our part, stay at home, social distance, then we can flatten our curve even below those projections.
Stay home. Stay with the people that you're bubbled with.
Very simply, stay home.
The stay home, stay safe order has, I mean, it's working.
If you want to come out into public, if you want to live your life, you need to get the vaccination. If you're okay, because I understand with people questioning their bodies, I like someone asking questions about that. But if you decide it's not the right decision for you, stay at home.
Here's what's up. If I make this shot, you got to stay home. She shoots, she scores.
Just stay home? I work an hourly job. I need 40 hours a week. I need 50. I need that overtime pay. I got insurance. I got bills, power bill, rent, all of society. Just stay at home? Can't do that to a people. And it went from just stay home for 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks, just stay home. And then it wasn't long. And the communists, they were talking about something, the Great Reset? What from just stay home to the Great Reset?
2020 has been challenging on a lot of levels, as economic, environmental, and societal frailties have been laid bare. But it's also proved that when we need to, we can act rapidly and restructure our lives.
Recovery from the pandemic is an opportunity. We can see rays of hope in the form of a vaccine, but there is no vaccine for the planet. Nature needs a bailout.
You don't want to go back to the status quo that you had before simply because it was the status quo that got us here.
With everything falling apart, we can reshape the world in ways we couldn't before. Ways that better address so many of the challenges we face. And that's why so many are calling for a Great Reset. A Great Reset? That sounds more like buzzword bingo masking some nefarious plan for world domination. Hands up, this kind of slogan hasn't gone down well. But all we really want to say is that we all have an opportunity to build a better world.
It went from stay home so you don't die to let me completely remake your life. And it jaded so many people. Let's say we had that much trust left at the beginning of COVID. Now it's gone. And now we find ourselves in a situation. Now we find ourselves potentially stuck in another war in the Middle East. President of the United States of America is giving speeches telling you, it's just a couple weeks. It's trust. But people don't trust. And you can't demand trust. You can't yell at people to trust you again. That trust vanished over the course of decades of lies. Jeffrey Tucker, we're going to talk to Jeffrey Tucker in a moment. He was all over the COVID insanity. He has so many thoughts on where we're currently at now, where we're going on Iran and everything else. We'll talk to Jeffrey about trust. Who's responsible for all this? What are his thoughts on Trump and other things? We'll talk to Jeffrey about that next. You know why there's a low-T men's clinic on every corner of your town? And how do I know that? Because it's all over. They're everywhere. Why has this become a thing? Because men, maybe this is you, they're feeling tired all the time, feel lacking focus. They knew something was wrong. So men started to get their testosterone levels checked, and they started to figure out that, oh my gosh, I'm low T. Well, that's embarrassing. What happened? Well, it's not your fault. Because of the birth control and things like that that's in the water supply, we drink estrogen. We drink down our T levels in this country. Stay out of the clinic. Get a male vitality stack from Chalk. Get your T levels jacked up 20% in 90 days and then keep on going. For 4 years, I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk, natural herbal supplements, and I feel like a million bucks. You want to feel like that? Go to chalk.com/JesseTV.
We're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days. As we combat the virus, each and every one of us has a critical role to play in stopping the spread and transmission of the virus.
A few years later,
we have the strongest and most powerful by far military in the world, and we will easily prevail. We're already substantially ahead of our time projections, but whatever the time is, it's okay. Whatever it takes, we will always, and we have from right from the beginning, we projected 4 to 5 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks later.
In these past 4 weeks, our armed forces have delivered swift, decisive, overwhelming victories on the battlefield. We are going to hit them extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong. In the meantime, discussions are ongoing. Regime change was not our goal. We never said regime change, but regime change has occurred.
We lost the public trust. Now nobody trusts anything anymore. Joining me now, Jeffrey A. Tucker, founder and president of the wonderful Brownstone Institute. He wrote wonderful book, Life After Lockdowns. Jeffrey, during COVID, credit to you, sir, you were quite loud, complaining that we were violating the trust of the people, our institutions were losing that trust, and trust is not easily regained. And now administrations, all of them, will have a difficult time doing anything because the people don't believe them anymore.
Thank you for drawing the parallels between March 2020 and March 2026. I have not yet written that article, but I've formulated it in my head. I think the parallels are incredibly striking. The most obvious of which is this exhortation that we just need to wait 2 weeks and then we'll see. And another common feature is almost overlapping in the timeline, Trump is declaring victory and it said it's done, it's over with, and told everybody he wants out of it. But very similarly, it's like he started this machine that he doesn't know how to turn off. That exact same thing happened during COVID. And I think one of the reasons we haven't seen anybody else make this parallel, but before you just did, actually, I must say that was very impressive, is because I don't think a lot of people were paying a lot of attention in March 2020 to what was actually coming down and why it was happening. Some people woke up later. Some people woke up like a year or two or three later and said, wow, that was dumb. But I was watching this very carefully from the very beginning, and I'm pretty sure I've mapped out exactly how it came to be that Trump was sort of trolled into doing something that would destroy his presidency, which is what happened in 2020. The worst possible thing he could have done is like destroy his the economy that was growing under his watch and undermine the base. Based on promises that were never going to be fulfilled, but he didn't really know that going into it. And that almost that exact same thing happened this time. He campaigned on no more regime change wars, certainly not bombing Iran. He was going to bring peace to the world. He's the peace president. That's what he campaigned at. We were going to pull our troops out around the world. We're going to be strong for Americans, put America first. And then they came to him and said, well, you know, now it's time to bomb Iran, and he did it. And it seems crazy. Like, why would he have done something like this? Well, it seems crazy that he would have shut down the economy and implemented a kind of totalitarian surveillance state in 2022. But what I think the mechanisms by which this happened are very similar in both cases. In both times, his aides and some very powerful people came to him and said, Mr. President, here's something that needs to be done. You and you alone have the power to do it. And here's how it's going to flesh itself out. You just need to make the decision. Just push this button. It's right here on your desk. Push that button. And then the following thing will happen. And the COVID case, they said, we've already got the inoculations to be rolled out. It'll be rolled out, you know, by the summer. Everybody's going to take a shot. They'll get over COVID. And you'll be heralded as a hero and sweep to re-election. Okay, that was the promise. And they deliberately delayed the release of the vaccine until after the election, which turned out it didn't work anyway, as it turns out, and it hurt a lot of people. In this case, they told him, look, Iran will be just like it was in Venezuela. You went in, you grabbed the guy, you negotiated a deal with his successor, and now you're basically in charge of Venezuela, and everybody respects you for it. It was enormously popular. You can do the same thing in Iran. There's this Ayatollah guy. He's a big shot. You know, let's get him. And God knows he deserves it because he keeps calling you names and says the U.S. is a great Satan. I don't know why you put up with that. You shouldn't. You and you alone have the courage, the strength, and the Midas touch to be able to pull this off. And the same people were involved, like Kushner, his son-in-law. That was the guy who wrote all the COVID protocols in 2020. I mean, the 6 feet of distance, the business closures, all that stuff, those were written by Kushner and a couple of his friends. And so who was involved in this Iran situation? It was the same guy. Kushner's the one who pushed him into it. So it just seems simply incredible that the same motivations, the same sort of flattery, the same belief of Trump that he has the ability to do something that nobody else has ever done and that it'll be enormously popular and everybody will love him for it, that exact same mechanism was repeated this time. And even the timing is parallel. The bombing of Iran occurred on the 28th of February. That's when we woke up and suddenly we're, you know, U.S. and Israel had dropped, 600, 900 bombs on Iran. That was the day that the COVID war on the American people began in 2020. And that beginning started by the CDC and launched through the pages of the New York Times. It was on the 28th of February that the New York Times op-ed page ran an article by its top virus reporter called "To Take on the Coronavirus, We Have to Go Medieval on It." And on that same day, Peter Zdezik had an article on the same day saying, "This is Disease X." Zdezik was, of course, the guy who got the contract from the NIH and served as the conduit to the Wuhan lab, from which the virus is ultimately leaked. So Zdezik was the instigator of that, and he had an op-ed on the page. So that was the beginning of the COVID war. Now, in that case, Trump resisted for a little while. That was February 28th. The NIH had just returned from a junket to China, where the CCP convinced them that Xi Jinping was a epidemiologic genius, and the World Health Organization announced that the whole world should follow the CCP with lockdowns. Trump wasn't really buying it until about a week later. He was still tweeting out, we're going to get over this. It's seasonal. It'll come and go. I'm going to keep the cases down. Don't worry, I've got this all under control. Something happened on the 9th or the 10th that caused him to change his mind. And on the 10th, he tweeted out, we're going to use an all-of-government approach. All resources of the federal government can be devoted to stopping this. And on the 12th, there were travel restrictions. Then on the 13th, we had the declaration of the COVID emergency, the passage of the PrEP Act, the indemnification of the vaccine industry. The weekend occurred. They plotted it all out on Monday, the 16th. Was a press conference that you played right there where Trump was all in on the COVID response. So he flipped completely. But the war really began, was declared by the New York Times at the instigation of the CDC. So in this, and now we fast forward to 2026, the bombing occurred on the 28th. It was going to be 2 weeks. It didn't work out quite like he expected, right? So the Ayatollah's dead. Nothing changes in the regime. They kept the killings. Nothing changed. They had not anticipated the use of these new drone technology. They hadn't anticipated that Iran had prepared, that there were all sorts of contingencies, just how decentralized and dedicated the armies were. So none of this was known. They hadn't fully appreciated the risks of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which is just simply unbelievable. So there's all these factors that any expert could have told him was a risk and was the reason why this war is not going to be an easy war. And the same way with COVID, there are 1,000 million factors that would prove that this virus was going to be contracted by virtually everybody and we would have upgraded immune systems as a result. It had a zoonotic reservoir. It was fast mutating. It's a respiratory virus. It spreads exactly the same way as the common cold. So there was never, ever, ever a chance that any aspect of these lockdowns would work at all. And there was really never a chance that the inoculation could work, which any expert could have told him that. But he surrounded himself by a coterie of yes men who manipulated him into the COVID war. And in this case with Iran, a coterie of experts who manipulated him into this war. You know, it's the old story, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice.
Jeffrey, it's so funny you brought up the name because I'm telling you right now, I've already written the social media post and it was almost exactly as you laid it out. It's March of 2020 and Donald Trump with a roaring economy is cruising to re-election and then gets talked into lockdowns by Jared Kushner. It's March of 2026. Donald Trump is facing a midterm election. We're not sure how it's going to go, but instead is pushed into an insanely unpopular war that will drive up already unpopular prices. The public doesn't like it. And who does the pushing? Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner is Trump's son-in-law. Is this guy the spawn of freaking Satan or what?
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. And I was watching very carefully when Trump was putting together his team in the campaign and then also after the inauguration. I kept asking the question, where's Jared, right? Well, I wanted to know where Kushner was because that was a bad sign. And he was nowhere to be found. You couldn't find Kushner anywhere. And I thought, well, you know, and I've probably wrongly assumed this. I assumed that Trump realized that Kushner was responsible for misleading him on COVID and was keeping him at arm's length. You know, okay, from now on, I'm going to like you as a son-in-law, but I'm not going to take your advice seriously. And that seemed to be the way it was going until at some point there he reemerges with advice that's, I don't know, as bad, or maybe 10x as bad. We'll find out how long this war goes and how devastating this is going to be economically. But yeah, exactly the same guy. So I don't know how obvious this parallel is and to how many people. Like I say, I've not actually written this article. I keep formulating it in my mind. But the parallels are so striking. I almost can't believe it. Another thing that people say to me all the time is like, well, how come every time you're examining Trump, you always assume that he's a good guy who keeps being fooled? You know, and I'm not sure I have a good answer for that, other than to say, it seemed to me that's what happened last time. COVID was a catastrophe for Trump politically, which is why he never wants to talk about it. And to this day, he's never really given an accounting of exactly what went on. That's why I'm speculating a little bit about the means by which they got to him. I think they went to him. It's an informed opinion, right? I don't have evidence for it, but I think they went to him and said, look, the World Health Organization said Xi Jinping solved this virus. It's a Chinese virus. They were ready for it because they had social distancing, and they've got an inoculation on the same on the way. They locked down hard. They expect that because of our freedoms, we will not be able to use these great methods ourselves. But you, Mr. President, will not be outsmarted by anybody. And you're not going to treat our so-called freedoms as a kind of a path under which you would be responsible for millions of deaths. So let's just outsmart this guy and show him what you're made of. And we've got better pharmaceutical manufacturers than they have. In fact, we have a great new technology called mRNA, which basically allows us to sequence the virus and practically just print it out and then shoot it in the arm, and boom, the disease is gone. It's never been deployed before. You, Mr. President, you're an innovator, you're a creator, you're a bold, decisive actor. You can do this. And if you do it, it'll make you as great as the greatest presidents we've ever had, better than FDR or Lincoln, like basically a new founding father. And Trump went for it. And same thing this time. They went to him and said, this annoying regime has been a problem for 47 years. Hey, you're the 47th president. This is probably a sign. You can do what nobody's been able to achieve before, and make the world permanently safe from this regime, which everybody says is capable of manufacturing a nuclear weapon. It's true they're not working on one right now, but do we really want to sit around and wait for this to happen? Whether it takes 2 weeks or 6 months hardly matters. They have the capability. Wouldn't you like to just make sure that the world was, the entire planet Earth can be protected from this terrible regime, and you will have reasserted America's power in the world and shown what you as an individual president is capable of doing? And he said, you know what? Let's go. I don't have empirical evidence of this, but it makes perfect sense to me. I don't see this guy as you know, a bad actor who's out there intending to trick people. I don't see why he would do that. I think that he himself is has holes in his knowledge in some areas, as we all do. But there's some very bad people who know exactly what those holes in his knowledge are, know what makes, what motivates him, and plays to his biases in ways that allow them to be, he signs up to be their marionette, essentially. And I think it happened in both occasions, both COVID and in Iran.
Jeffrey, the more we talk, the more creeped out, honestly, I'm getting about the parallels between these two times. And so let me lay one out for you here, although we've kind of touched on it a little bit already. Donald Trump got 15 days to slow the spread rolling, And then at some point in time, quite obviously, Donald Trump recognized it was destroying everything. It was destroying the roaring economy he'd built. It was going to destroy his reelection chances. Only by that point in time, the train was rolling, and even the president of the United States of America could not put the brakes on. The states ran wild with it. The regulators ran wild with it. It quickly ran out of his control, and he couldn't break it. He got it started. He couldn't break it. Is this what we're dealing with right now in Iran?
Those days he was reduced to tweeting, you know, and there wasn't a single moment in which he had changed his mind. All we know is that somewhere between April 1st and say August 15th or so, that he had done a complete 180 on the whole question of what is this virus? How can it be controlled? What should be done in response to a virus such as this? He changed his mind completely. In the intervening time, he had tweeted out things like free Michigan or free whatever, you know. And Deborah Birx reports that when they came back to him after the 2 weeks and asked for more time, that they said to him, look, you can't open up now. You'll undo all the good you're doing. You've done so well. This country's done so well for 2 weeks, thanks to your leadership. If you open up now, all this would have been a complete waste. So let's go further. She went into that meeting thinking that she was going to ask for an additional 2 weeks, but he was so receptive that they asked for an additional 30 days. And he said, okay, I'll give you 30 days. But she also reports that after that, he wouldn't speak to her again. So it's like something happened sometime in the first week of April that he began to wonder if he'd been tricked, essentially. And so then he began to go to Twitter. And then he did the other thing, which is very strange. He began to kind of act as if nothing had happened. So then he started raging against the BLM protesters and, law and order, we need law and order around here. And it would talk about everything else. And then when people bring up COVID, he'd say, oh, shut up about COVID. That's all you. And then he went on the campaign trail and was making fun of COVID. Like, oh, all they tell me is COVID, 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 Russia, Russia, Russia. And it was very strange, even leading up to the general election. He was trying to make an issue out of things, you know, like a speechwriter started going through my old books and finding out things for him to talk about. So he suddenly seized on a theme of my very first book, which is called Bourbon for Breakfast. So I was going on, I had multiple mini chapters about the problem of water flow in the US, about how the showers don't work, about how the toilets are stinky, about how, you know, there's not enough running water in our faucets. And, you know, I have many articles on this subject in this book. Well, the speechwriters went to that book and began to pull out all these things and feeding them to Trump. So he would go out on the campaign trail saying, nah, it's a terrible world. I can't even take a shower. I can't get all the shampoo out of my hair because the showers don't work anymore. I got to change that. So he was trying to make this issue out of this. I mean, in peaceful times, this would have been a wonderful thing, but in October of 2020, every town in America, every small town in America had their downtowns boarded up. People were walking around in heavy woolens and with masks, looking like flagellants from the Middle Ages. The unemployment rate was soaring. Everything was pure chaos. There was surveillance all over the place. And terror and fear and disorientation. The movie theaters were closed. All small businesses were shut. We weren't even sure if I mean, most churches were still closed, and synagogues too were closed all over the country. And he's out there on the campaign trail yammering about showerheads, you know. So he wants to change the subject. It's like he thinks that somehow, if he's talking about something else, that this will convert the public mind, or that the reality changes in his own head, and that causes the reality outside of his head to conform to it. So it's the same way with this war. He was sick of it, even like 10 days or 2 weeks ago, and began to tell everybody, hey, I got to get out of this war. This is dumb, you know. And that's why he started saying, we won. We've won the war. It was an easy war. We won it. Nobody's ever won a war like that. Everybody's talking about it, like how great it is, the U.S. won, which is a strange thing to say, because like, if we won, why are we still bombing? Why are we sending American troops over there? So he began to manufacture his own version of reality in his head. Now, I don't entirely understand what the message we're supposed to take away from that speech. I think he intended that speech to be a declaration of victory, and an announcement that, you know, we're on the cusp of just stopping all engagement. But he didn't finally stop it. And then he added all these things about how the World War One went on for 3 years, and then World War II was 5 years, and Vietnam lasted for 15 years. Do you really want to hear that? When the war's not actually over, he may say it's over. Well, actually, he never even calls it a war. So it's all very strange. They expected that speech to cause the markets to soar, but there were enough things in it that made you wonder if this was yet another quagmire. And he said, we've got to open the Strait of Hormuz. Well, guess what? It was open before he started dropping bombs on Iran. That's what caused the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. So this was his fault. Now he's telling Europe to open it. So the price of oil skyrockets during the speech, and we open, you know, get to the stock market this morning, and it's dropped substantially and significantly, because the speech conveyed the impression that this guy's out of touch, that this war is going to go on and on, and there's nothing that Trump can do to stop it, because the machinery and the dynamics have already been set in motion. So that's yet another parallel. And I'll just name one other parallel, I think, that I don't think is an empty speculation. I'm guessing that hostilities are going to be ongoing between now and the midterms. They're going to need to take this all the way to the midterms, including the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which is going to create cascading disasters all over the world, especially with the helium supplies. It's going to cause the chip factories to close. We could be facing horrible shortages of everything and skyrocketing prices. A second wave of inflation that'll be worse than the first one. I don't think that's an implausible forecast. I'm sorry to say, but I think if the okay, so here's something I haven't addressed. If the purpose of the COVID thing was in part, and there were a lot of purposes to it, right? They wanted to test out and give a boost to online learning. They wanted to try out a new pharmaceutical product. They wanted to prepare the ground for new vaccine passports. Wanted to try out new methods of censorship. But at least one of the motivations for the timing was to drive him out of office. Okay? I feel very sure about this, certain about it, that was the purpose in 2020. Well, the Wiley guy figures out a way to come back, you know, right? And in 2024. So rather than wait into the fourth year, it's like, okay, we've had one year, good year, and you've done some things that are pretty darn annoying here. You've unleashed RFK on the childhood schedule. You've got all these court cases. You seem to be warming up the Supreme Court to actually dealing a deadly blow to the administrative state that's ruled this country for the last 100 years. You have your tariffs are dismantled. The entire neoliberal trading order. This is not working for us. So we're not going to wait till year four. We're gonna start this year, the second year of your presidency, and this time we're gonna use the craziest idea you can possibly ever imagine. We are going to talk Trump into doing the very thing that he promised not to do during the campaign, which is to start bombing Iran and engage in regime change. And we're going to convince him of this by giving him an easy victory in Venezuela. And that will warm him up to the idea that he's a magical person with amazing powers, and whatever he does happens, and we'll get him to do it in Iran, and that will create a calamity, both politically and economically. Same playbook, same timeline, almost exactly. Ides of March, election in November. It all seems to be unfolding exactly. And I think, again, I can't prove it, but I think it's part of the plan. And I think you fell right into this trap again.
All right, time out on that. We're going to come back and we're going to do more. Your cell phone. We all have them. But I have it, you have it, my wife has it. My kids are teenagers at this point in time. They have them. So it's just one of those things where people are going to have them. You might be watching me right now on your phone. I got it. Who are you paying for it? We haven't forgotten, surely, that corporate America has chosen to wade into the cultural war against your values, and Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile are not fighting on your side. They are fighting against you. Now, are they fighting against you with your money? Switch to PureTalk, the veteran-led company that doesn't get involved in all the filth and degeneracy. They charge you less. They're on the same towers, so you don't have to sit and stress about the service. I might drop calls, none of that. You can switch to PureTalk right now, save a bunch of money, and not feel guilty about paying your cell phone bill. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. Jeffrey, before I let you go, what's the COVID justice resolution?
Yeah, Jesse, I hope that everybody goes and signs it. We wrote this, I wrote it, really, but many organizations have backed it to give people some way to express their opposition to everything that happened over those COVID years, and to say very decisively that nothing like this should ever happen again. We haven't really had a means to express a public opinion about this, so that's what this enables. The reason it's necessary is that while we might have hoped that President Trump would have spoken out about the COVID period and said this is not the way we do things in this country, or that we would get some admissions from Anthony Fauci. I went too far, too fast. You know, whatever the thing would be, or that there would have been a resolution in the Senate. Well, there is no resolution forthcoming. There are no real apologies. There is no accountability. There's not any kind of political, cultural, or social reckoning for what happened in those years. So we put this COVID justice resolution forward as a way for people to sign. It's already got 35,000 signatures, I think, already, which is quite substantial in this information space to have that many signatures. And the hope is that at some point the Senate will pick it up and force a vote on this thing. We can find out. And by the way, this isn't a resolution that reflects like my views or your views. I mean, I'm disgusted by every single aspect of all features of the COVID tyranny. But this one takes, you know, dials that back a little bit, you know, moderates some of the language enough so that any actual civilized person living in a representative democratic government, you know, should be able to agree with it. And people have complained a bit. They go, oh, it's 2 weeks. I'm not going to sign it. It's 2 weeks. Well, look, you can sign it even though it's not as tough as maybe you or I would be. The thing is designed to make it possible for any regular mainstream party person from either political party to sign it. And so that's what that is. I would like to add a zero to those number of signatures. I think if you haven't signed it already, everybody should just go and sign that right away.
Yeah, they should. The COVID justice resolution. Please go sign it. I will be going to sign it. Jeffrey, as always, sir, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. Final thoughts, thanks. Trust is gone. It's gone for a lot of reasons. We can't put it all on COVID, but COVID certainly contributed to it. Now we live in a world where there isn't any trust, but as we warned before, we have to have it. That means our institutions have to stop lying, be open with us, and go back to simply serving the people. And some accountability for things like COVID certainly wouldn't hurt either. All right. We'll do it again.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.